Hello everyone and welcome back to 2022 and the podcast show. So happy to be back. It's fantastic. And we've got a really special show to hit off the year. We're joined today by Dr. Danny Smith, GP Clinical Lead for Perth and Kinross Health and Social Care Partnership, and Karine Mullen-Mackay, Nurse Consultant for Urgent Care as well. And we're joined in the studio, I have to say that, our make-believe studio, because we're not all in the same studio. COVID is still here. We still have to remind people of that. It's still very important. So we're still either working at home or a blended model, I think, as they now call it as well. So I'm joined by Mr. Cassidy. So, John, just very quickly, Happy New Year to yourself, sir. Did you have a nice festive break?
Happy New Year to you as well. This is officially the last time I'm going to say Happy New Year. That's it. Done.
Fantastic, done.
Yeah, we've had a lovely, quiet festive break. It was enforced, obviously, because of restrictions, but really enjoyed it. Felt the benefit of it, Colin. Thank you.
Perfect. And I think that's a good way to lead into this conversation, way to go and have, and just a good message for the future as well of this year as well. We still need to look after ourselves. I know that we've last year was really busy. We've came through another part of that journey of COVID, and care is a big thing. Taking care of ourselves and taking care of each other is a really massive thing. So it's really good that we're joined here today by professionals in this field. So I'm just going to go straight there. John. I'm going to go straight to Dr. Danny Smith and really just ask him. You know, we're here to talk about urgent care. But really, what does that mean, Danny, if that's okay? And first, if I can, Happy New Year to yourself. And how are you?
Happy New Year, everyone. I'm great. Thanks, Colin. And a very good question to ask, I think. Urgent care means different things to different people. I think that's one of the challenges. So, you know, we as clinicians and management can come up with their own definition of what urgent care is and design pathways. But ultimately, urgent care to patients, for example, is whatever they feel it is. You know, so if they feel that something is urgent, they will act a certain way. And it might not necessarily fit in with the sort of pathways that we've designed. And I think historically, you know, their way of accessing urgent care was always, going to A&E or contacting GP service. And that's not changed by and large over the years, in terms of that messaging. But slowly, you know, over a long period of time, there have been a number of changes that have taken effect, increased training and knowledge in the wider workforce who can take on a lot of these roles that others used to do. And so as a result, things are changing significantly, and yet we've not really sort of had much public engagement about that. So that's what we're hoping to achieve today, really.
And I think it's really important, isn't it? Because the public themselves need to know where to go. I think that's probably a good thing. You mentioned there about A&E, and I know NHS 24, I'm sure even more so over the last number of months with the pandemic as well, that has been very busy. And I think people then get used to, if that's okay to say, I'm honest to say, they get used to going somewhere and build a relationship up with either be their GP practice or GP themselves, or even phoning NHS 24 becomes that their norm of trying to find out information when there is a wider path there. So can I just ask, you're saying it's not, why is it changing, or is it just more about, it's not changing dramatically, we just need to get better at using the services that are there?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, people have built up these relationships with certain services, so that's one side of it. I think we recognise that, you know, all services are struggling in some respect, and it's about sort of seeing the right person in the right place at the right time. And by doing that, we can make sure that everybody is, getting that right level of care that they need. If people have been, making contact with the wrong service, you know, when that could be dealt with elsewhere, then the risk is those people who actually need those healthcare professionals to manage their specific problem don't end up getting seen or take longer to be seen as a result of that. In terms of the change that's taking place, why is it changing? Some people may feel that a lot of this is on the back of COVID, but it's probably worth highlighting that a lot of the plans for this were put in place a number of years before COVID hit. So some of that was related to the new GP contract, which was drawn up in 2018, which looked to try and provide additional workforce, both within practices and out with practices, to support GP practices. But there's also been a lot of work going on in the background over the last few years around redesign of urgent care, you know, at a Scottish national level. And that's around, you know, supporting A&E, you know, and the workload pressures that they're under as well. So a lot of these things are changing. They were changing before COVID, but I guess COVID has, you know, had an impact on those services and meant that some of those things have had to be redesigned further as a result of that.
And can I just ask, just on that, and we do have a small discussion before the show, but have we learnt from COVID? Has there been some good things that have, not COVID itself, good things, but in the way that we practice and the way that GP practices are used, has there been an awareness of the change in that? Has there been benefits to the way that we receive care now?
Absolutely. I think COVID made us challenge a lot of the ways we've historically worked, you know. So if you take, you know, virtual consultations, you know, things that could be managed over the phone, whereas historically, you know, it was you need to be seen in the practice. And that's had huge advantages for patients who now maybe don't need to take the same, you know, half a day off work to go and see the GP in practice when things can be managed over the phone. And we're seeing that with, you know, some of the redesign of other services. We're trying to put things in place so to reduce the number of appointments. You know, secondary care are doing that more when patients are referred to clinic. We're trying to gather as much information as we can locally so that they just have, you know, one appointment that may be able to be undertaken virtually.
And just finally on that, you mentioned there over the phone. Now we are here, as I said, we're not live in the studio because we don't have a studio. We're still all doing this remotely. Is there ways now for the public who GP practices need to see those people? Can they do it over the screen like this? Has it been taken that far, or is it still the phone?
Yeah, and practices do have access to a service that allows them to do that, and it's the same one that the hospital clinicians will use to do some of their clinic appointments now. So it saves a lot of patients having to travel, you know. So there's huge benefits. There's some teething issues, and that, you know, it can be quite challenging for how we implement that in some practices. But it's definitely an area that's moving forward.
Fantastic. No, it's so good. I mean, there's been a lot of tragedy. I'm never going to, we say that quite often in the show, just around COVID, there's been a lot of tragedy. There's been a lot to learn, but I think from learning and taking those opportunities, if I can say that, Danny, taking those opportunities to learn from them and think, how do we do things better? But you are, if I'm going to say it, using your full title there, Dr. Danny Smith, the GP, there is many other people out there, though, isn't there, that is all part of this urgent care. So I'm going to leave you there. I'm going to come across to John, because there is lots of different people, John. We all have different roles in the jobs that we do as well. But I just wondered if there's anything you wanted to expand on or take that forward there.
Yeah, I found that enlightening, informative and reaffirming as well, because I'll be quite honest, I keep relatively healthy. I don't have to go to the doctor that often. But during the last year and a half, I've had a couple of occasions where I've had to make that call. But what happened the first time was I was asked to send a photograph. It was like a wee sort of growth type thing I had, or suspected I had. Send a photograph, and that was dealt with right away. We're talking within less than a day. I got a thing back saying, well, they never quite said go and have a good wash, but it was pretty close to that. It wasn't anything serious. But and the second one was that I had to phone my doctor up. I had a bit of a pain. I now know I've got a rotator cuff. I never knew that I had a rotator cuff, but I now know I do. But we had a consultation on the phone. It wasn't a video, just a phone call. But I thought, what a fantastic way to streamline services. Pre-COVID, I would have rocked up at the GP's surgery, sat in the waiting room, took up lots of time, loads of valuable time for people. And I was really touched by something that Danny said about the right person in the right place at the right time. So that suggests that there's more people than my GP I can speak to. And I know I've spoken to nurses, and I'm saying I keep well. I've spoken to quite a lot of them, actually. But I'd be interested to find out more about the right person, the right place, the right time, and who's involved with that. So that would be a question I would like to pose.
Kriya, is that something that you could answer there, because I think that would be really good from a nurse consultant point of view, because we can go back to Danny and get that, but it'd be good to just broaden that out and hear who else is there.
Yes, of course. I think absolutely there has been huge learning from COVID, and one of the things as clinicians that we've kind of been catapulted into doing is working better together. We have been forced to do that much quicker than we would normally have done. And what that has done is highlighted, I guess, a better understanding and appreciation of roles and responsibilities of our whole multidisciplinary team, and how each profession can actually support care to patients and improve outcomes, you know, not just our GPs. And that's been that's our biggest areas of development, if you like. So that involves nurses, pharmacy, physio, OT, our social care colleagues, and third sector.
So you mentioned there, and just before I come back to John and see if he wants to, I'm sure he always has a wee thing he wants to add, but John is quite a good reflector. So he just thinks there and he'll come back with something. But and I'm glad to know, John, that you're absolutely OK. And it was just, as you said, it was a good wash, as you called it there. But I think the bit that you were highlighting there was how simple some of these processes were that you were involved in and taking forward, which I think is really good. But you mentioned there, Corinne, you mentioned there about the third sector being involved, or health and social care partners. Just for the public and for our staff and colleagues who are listening as well, who are part of it, because we all work in small areas and it's good to sort of expand that and just hear who else is out there. Don't want to put you on the spot, but if I had, like John was speaking there about a growth, as he called it, would that go to the GP, or does that now go to someone else to have a look at that? How do these things get directed, I suppose, is a good way of asking that.
Right, I think I'm going to have to send that to Danny, actually. Because
liking
that's
that.
Dermatology. I'm so sorry. Yeah,
but that's okay, because there's a new, so that's dermatology. So maybe Danny doesn't even look at that.
Well, might not even be dermatology, sorry. I'm just thinking about, in terms of a GP response to that, because I probably wouldn't get involved in that as a nurse consultant, as an ANP. So, Danny, I don't know if you want to answer that, but...
Yeah, I think that's something that, you know, might be appropriate to come to the GP practice. We've got, you know, reception staff who are trained in, you know, what we call care navigation, you know. So, you know, in John's case there, you know, the practice reception team were probably already geared up to say, yeah, you know, that maybe GP needs to look at that. But actually to help the GP getting a photo, that would be useful. But they can also direct people, you know, straight to physio. They can book them a physio appointment if somebody's, you know, had ongoing back pain. Don't necessarily need to see the GP. Physio might be best person to see them, and they can book them in with that. Mental health and wellbeing nurses, you know, so we've got all these other people. Even, you know, community pharmacists are able to prescribe for certain conditions, urinary tract infections, you know, being a classic one. So there's lots of other people out there, and it's really about signposting them to the right place. And as we say, practice staff are geared up for that, but as our NHS 24, and we're trying to produce a lot of you know, posters and information for the public. So I guess when it comes to urgent care, my approach for any patient would be to think, is this serious or life-threatening? And by that, we tend to mean, am I having a stroke? Am I having a heart attack? Am I in severe breathing difficulties? Or am I bleeding all over the floor? You know, in which case, you need to either phone 999 or get yourself to A&E as quickly as possible. If you don't, you have time, and you have time to find out a bit more about where the right place is to deal with that problem. And a good starting point is usually NHS Inform website, you know, where there's lots of information there that can tell you about the different healthcare professionals out there that can sort of assist or manage your condition best. And it's about, as we said, right person, right place, right time. And you know, you're much more likely if you get make the correct decision to get your most appropriate treatment in the speediest time frame.
Do you know what? I think that, just like John saying there, I'm enlightened by what has been said there. And as a member of the public, again, touch wood, I've not had much need to go to GP surgery, but I often wonder whether I'm going to the right person. You know, you, when you need something fixed, be it even now, you don't just go to, you know, we get tyres replaced at tyre places now rather than just going to a normal garage. There's specific people do specific jobs. That's what I'm trying to say there. And I think that's what you're very much saying there, Danny, that there is real opportunity there to think, okay, who's going to be best? But that, you mentioned the word care navigation, you said that the staff are trained up in that, which is really good, because I think there's probably still a lot of the public out there, and probably myself included as well. GPs are a first point of contact still, aren't they? They still are a first point of contact. And it is, we only know what we know, and you only know what you know if somebody phones there and says, well, we really need to go there. So I guess that reception staff has a really big responsibility in trying to direct people to the right way. Would it be fair in saying that now?
Absolutely, yeah. I think they've got a huge amount of knowledge about all the services that are out there. And you know, the days gone by where it was just seen as a receptionist who just booked an appointment or answered the phone are long gone. These are highly trained healthcare professionals and a huge part of the team. I mean, one of the other things that's changing, I guess, in terms of urgent care is around how we access sort of minor injury units and things like that. So COVID resulted in most of them being closed because couldn't have people just pitch up at the units without being able to be screened first. So that was a big change, I guess, in some of the more rural areas. But again, as part of the Scottish Government's urgent care redesign, there was always a plan to look at that, and some of these services have been sort of transferred into what they call CCATs, which was something that was set up as part of the new GP contract.
I'm glad you mentioned CCATs now and not at the top of the show, Danny, because I was worried that people might think we're talking about cats and we're here as vets or something like that. So I'm glad you mentioned that. Now I'm going to go back over to John. John, just coming back to some of the things you were saying there, and do you want to take that further, expand on that a wee bit? I know that there's just looking at some of the stuff there about home visiting, how does that maybe have a place to play? Do we all have to still turn up somewhere? We've heard there about using the phone and using it, but people still need to be seen, don't they, sometimes? So how does that work? So I'll leave that to yourself, John.
Yeah, I think, and in a very personal case that I would think about is my mother. My mother's 94 years old and she lives still within Perth and Kinross, but she's not able, whether that's physically or confidently, to go to a GP's surgery. So she would rely on getting a home visit. So I'd be very keen to know more about that, just in general, about what constitutes when a doctor will come. Right person, right time, right place. What would constitute that right person coming to see you at home?
Karina, is that something for yourself? Are you able to come back on that?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head, haven't you? It's about the right person at the right time with the right skill. And what we don't want to do is... We want to develop services locally, and we want people to still have that whole person-centred individual approach to their care. So one of the things that we have developed, certainly in Perth and Kinross, for example, is a different home visiting service, whereas previously it might have been your general practitioner that would have come out to do the home visit, but we have other people who are more than capable of doing that visit, coming out, for example, to see your mum, carrying out a full holistic assessment, some of which a GP might have done in the past. One of the professions that does that is an advanced nurse practitioner service, for example, and they will come out, they will do the same as a GP, so they will carry out a physical examination, review medicines, refer on for tests, but they will do all that in conjunction with speaking to your GP. So your GP is very much involved in the care, but it's a nurse, or it could be an advanced physio, or it could be an advanced occupational therapist that you see. But the decision to do the home visit is done in partnership with your GP. So the GP is very much involved in that decision.
And that, I think, was very much the case. My mum said it was a brawl assie that came to see me. But I'm not going to say the doctor's name. But for some reason, my mum always refers to the doctor by his last name. You know, it's just, it's never doctor something, it's just last name. But that was indeed the case, Kieran. Thank you very much for describing that, because that is exactly what happened with my, my mother.
Maybe, Joanna,
no
should be calling.
That bra lassie was maybe me.
No, you're maybe right. You're maybe right.
Not joking.
You're maybe right. And maybe I should have been calling Danny Mr. Smith the whole time as well. And maybe I've been getting that wrong as well. Or just doctor. I probably should have been saying that as well. So, but just a couple of things before we come to the end, because we're kind of wrapping up there, and it has been so interesting. A great way to start the new year, a great way to hear what is happening. We did have a question that we're going to ask you, Dr. Danny Smith, Mr. Smith there. Do we as a public need to do anything different? And before I allow you to answer, sorry, I guess the thing is, yes, we do need to do things differently. And that's a part there, but we do also, as public, we need to know how to do these things differently. So there is an opportunity to put some of the links along with this podcast when it goes out there, so we can do that. But just coming back to yourself, you know, that sort of final words from yourself, one around cats, just so you can explain what cats are, just very quickly, because we mentioned that, we didn't really say what the whole thing was. And also around that, how is the best way to do things differently? You kind of mentioned that, to sort of stop, pause, if you can. But I'll let you describe that, if that's okay.
Yeah, thanks, Colin. Yeah, I think a bit like we said earlier, it's that, you know, is it life-threatening? Is it serious and needs dealt with now? And if it doesn't, we've got time, so to stop and think. And there's a big drive now to plan some of that care. So even with A&E attendance, if it's not serious or life-threatening, the request is that you contact 111, so NHS 24, and they will schedule an appointment. So if you think you've broken your arm, you'll then speak to a consultant who will say, yep, sounds like you maybe need an x-ray, and they will give you a time to attend. And that way you're not sitting in the A&E department for 4 hours. And it's a similar thing with minor injuries, you know, which we're now hoping to deliver through these community care and treatment services, which is what CCAT stands for. There will be a lot more, there'll be 8 across the whole of P&K in the rural areas, so that people will be able to access some of these services closer to their own home. And that will be for, you know, assessment of some, you know, minor wounds, you know, that might need some steri-strips over them, a dressing put there. But they're also going to deal with a lot of other wound care, suture removal, and a lot of these other sort of minor injury problems, without the need for patients to maybe travel all the way to their local A&E department. So I think it is a case of, you know, stop, think, and then think, well, actually, who do I need to see? Don't just do that knee-jerk reaction to what people have historically been taught to do. And, you know, have a look at the information on NHS Inform. We'll see if we can post some other links to some other information along with the podcast. And hopefully, you know, over time, people will get used to this new way of accessing care, because that is the way that they're going to get that best level of care, I think.
Do you know, it's always, we have some really, well, everybody who's came on the show has been really exciting. And we get to see a wee insight into their world. And that's one of the reasons why I think people like listening to the show. And I don't think it's anything to do with me and John coming, being on, to be fair. It's the guests that we have on and just their world in which. But we, as I said earlier, we only know what we know until we sort of expand that. So from people listening to this, being able to look at the links, being able to see the posters as well that we can put up as well, just around how you change. And I think over the last number of months during COVID, everybody has changed and made changes. So I think that this is a great opportunity to get this out there, so people can go, actually, I can pause just now and I can think, what's the best way to do this? One, because I'm sure people are also anxious still about turning up in places, you know, so how better can we do that? How better can we be effective in doing that as well? So I think this is a great message to be putting out there. So thank you very much for coming on and explaining that. It has been, as I said, a great way to start the year and a great way to start the show as well. And hopefully people will be more informed about how they receive care in the future, and I think that's a real positive. Now, this is a bit that we do like, whether we are out to the public or whether it's just staff that we're delivering our podcast to, is John, at the start of the beginning of this year as well, is he will be leading on Lockdown Lounge, which is a show that is done, that John plays music, and we like to invite our guests to nominate a song that John then plays on there. Now, this song can be something that has maybe got you over the last year, maybe something like dancing around to, maybe it was a good party tune over Christmas and your small party gathering with your family in your house. So if I can come to yourself first, Kareem, because we're always really interested to hear what people's musical tastes are, what is your song choice? And John is ready with his pen there to write that down just now.
I am a bit of a karaoke queen.
See, people don't know these things until you come on the show, and people feel this need to admit them. So on you go.
I don't like to admit that, but I do, and I can't really sing, but I love country and western, and I love country rock. So my karaoke song is The Gambler.
Oh, fantastic. And I'm sure you'll be singing along when John plays it. So that's absolutely The Gambler, John. I don't know if that's been on the show before, John, or not. So fantastic.
Thank you.
And Dr. Danny Smith, Mr. Smith, I'm giving you all the title there, just making sure. Danny, your song choice?
I'd much rather take a clinical question than this question, but I think I'm going to say Queen Bohemian Rhapsody, because it's a classic. It goes on for a wee while, kills a bit of time. So, yeah, I'm going to go for that.
Fantastic, great, love it. Kills a bit of time. Really like that. And maybe that's your secret karaoke song as well. I'd be impressed to watch that, though. That'd be very good. John, from myself, anything you would just like to say just as we leave? This is our first show.
I'd just like to say, well, two things. One, it's great to be back and doing this again. I actually love doing this and speaking to different people. And two, my big takeaway from today is about right person, right place, right time. So thank you very much for the conversation. Thank you for the song nominations too. Two belters in different ways. Absolutely love them. I'll be playing them on at the Lockdown Lounge as well. But I often think, or I'll ask the question if I'm not feeling quite right, and somebody will say to me, have you phoned the doctor? Maybe the question I've got to ask now is, who do I need to contact? It's not the doctor specifically. I've also found it really quite, again, enlightening about that receptionist staff. They're not just receptionists, it's much, much more than that. So I've learned loads through this last 20 minutes. So thank you all very much for that.
Thank you, John, as always. It just leaves me to say thank you to everybody. Have a great year. We're going to come back with some real good shows this year. So stay tuned, stay listening, and we'll speak to everybody really soon. So thank you all very much. Bye now.